Hey guys, this is Josh from the Gleeful Podcast. Two things. First of all, in the episode you're about to listen to, we are going to forget to mention that at the end of Glee, Sue takes charge of oral intensity. Please don't email me about that. Please, just forgive us. Please. I'm begging you. Please forgive us. We'll talk about it next week, I promise. We're going to talk about it every episode for the rest of the season. I guarantee it. But we forgot to mention it today. Secondly, there is a link that I just put up on our website where you can take a short survey to let us know what you think of the show and tell us a little about yourselves. If you have a minute, it would be amazing if you could do that because it's going to help us kind of figure out, you know, how to blow up the show and continue to present the things that the way you guys want to see them. So it would help us out a lot. Please go to www.gleefopodcast.com and click that survey link and tell us a little bit about who you are and how we're doing. Thanks for listening, and on to Gleeful. Good afternoon, Jennifer.
Good afternoon, Ed.
Good afternoon, Josh.
Welcome to the Gleeful Podcast with Josh, Jen, and Ed. We are back to discuss the latest episode of Glee entitled Comeback. Comeback.
Yeah.
Yes, and we want to thank everybody for all the great emails and tweets and voicemails that we will be discussing over the course of the next few moments, or a few, I guess, minutes.
Yeah.
Hours, I don't know.
Days.
Yeah.
Eons.
So yeah, I want to thank everybody for taking part in the show. It means the world to us. And gosh, there's a lot of there's a lot of stuff going on in the Gleeverse right now. You know, apparently Glee or the Glee's cast has topped Elvis Presley for most Hot 100 hits this week. Or at least they surpassed Elvis Presley this week with 6 debuts on the Hot 100 to be released tomorrow. This was, which would be February 17th on Billboard.com. The Glee cast has placed 113 songs on the chart, besting Elvis Presley's 108 chart entries. So that's a big move for the group.
That's pretty momentous.
Yeah, you know, kind of an interesting. I mean, does it feel like a cheat to you guys considering that one they're recording? You know. They're recording songs that were already hits.
Oh, but okay, arguably, many other people have done this. Kidz Bop, for example, and they haven't reached this level of success. So, I mean, anyone receiving this amount of success is something.
Well, but Kidz Bop didn't have the marketing support of award-winning TV
show. I'm
just
saying, people... Okay, there's other people who have done cover songs. I don't know. I'm sure there's more than Kidz Bop, and these people are selling. So, and just because they don't have the marketing team doesn't put them in an unfair advantage. It's just how it is. It's just what it is.
It's just what it is.
And also in their favor is, you know, Elvis has a 40-something year jump on them.
True.
They've done this in a much shorter time.
Very true. Yeah, Elvis did get the drop on everyone.
Yeah, darn him.
I think they weren't even born before he passed away. Most of them.
Elvis passed away in 70. I used to know this, 77? 74?
I think we're still waiting on a comment from him on the Glee phenomenon.
Are we? He's going to come out of hiding. 77, I was right the first time. August 16th. Yes, well... you know, as we all know, Elvis is still alive. He's just hiding in Memphis so that he doesn't get recognized anymore. Remember when that was a big thing? This is probably before your time, Ed, but there was a time in like the mid to late 80s where people were obsessed with this concept of Elvis still being alive.
Well, I've heard about that like my entire life, of Elvis still being alive, but it's like kind of along the same lines of like not walking on the moon. So, I mean, it's like...
That's true. I mean, it does kind of... The conspiracy theorist within me has researched both of them, and there's a much better argument for not walking on the moon. I'm going to go ahead and say to the listeners right now, don't freaking email me on this topic, because I don't think that we didn't walk on the moon, but I do find the argument fascinating. But there is like no evidence that Elvis Presley is still alive. Yes, his tombstone is misspelled. Get over it. That's the extent of what you've got to work with. And some blurry photographs from the early 80s. No one thinks that Elvis is still alive, except for Bill Bixby. He's holding on to that one. Remember?
Bill Bixby?
The Hulk?
I know who he is.
He hosted all those like live specials in the mid to late 80s about like, is Elvis still alive? We will reveal.
Is that like the whole Believe It or Not thing, or was that a different show?
Different show.
But in the same vein.
Same vein. Totally. Okay. So anyway, to the topic at hand, let's talk a little bit about Glee. This was, I guess, kind of the Bieber fever episode.
The Bieber fever.
Is that what it was? Is that what the, I couldn't
no,
tell
that's
what
just
he
what
was
I
saying?
Call it. Oh, okay. I say stuff like Bieber. It's unbeaverievable or something like God. Stuff like that. So going good is your next catchphrase.
He's I hear his fans go by Beliebers, which is awesome.
Okie dokie.
Yeah. But we opened up with Somebody to Love There. I had not heard that song. That was a
oh my
Bieber
God, really?
Song I had not heard.
Really?
Dude, seriously. You're talking to me.
Okay,
is this
surprising
to you?
I haven't sought the Justin Bieber. I haven't attempted to find the Justin Bieber. But like, I've heard his stuff. I mean, he is the most viewed person on YouTube ever.
Well, I will not. I will not deny that. I mean, obviously, but at the same time. You know, I posted on the Twitter this morning a Kenny Loggins music video from 86. So I'm just going to go ahead and say maybe Bieber is not in my wheelhouse.
So it's not something you would search out, and because you don't listen to popular radio, you're not going to just stumble upon it.
Let's even qualify that further. I don't have a radio in my car. I have not listened to the radio
very true.
5 years.
I believe that. I believe it. You just go on random on iPod and you just shout to the music gods.
Musical theater gods.
Yeah. I just spin the iPod. That's how I mean, I've heard lots of, you know, modern music. It's just not the Biebster. Now, Ed, as someone who's plugged in to this world, what are your feelings on the Bieber at large?
Okay. I'm not a Bieber hater and I'm not a Bieber lover. He's just there, and I feel like if he was like someone I knew, like he's like motivated, he clearly works hard, and he's got style or a good stylist. So I feel like we would be friends if we were like if I knew him.
Mm-hmm.
And beyond that, I'm in love with several of his background dancers.
Oh, I read that.
Yes, I heard that. That's somewhere. Awesome. I don't know where I would have heard that.
I'm in love with several of them.
Several.
So.
Well, yeah, I can't weigh in on that topic at all. But that's exciting. I assume you're talking about his Grammy performance.
No, his Grammy performance was a hot mess, but whatever. I actually posted the performance either on my account or Gleeful's account, I can't remember which one, of the when Justin Bieber went on X Factor, he had so many nice dancers.
Oh, okay.
And they had all such style. I mean, they were all like, And people think I don't think I'm like a not a rapist. What's the word?
Well, please don't be that like, word. Please don't be
like,
that word.
Loving someone who's like littler. What is that called?
Pedophile.
Pedophile. Yes. People don't think that when I'm saying in love with his background dancers because they're like Whoa. 20. Duh. Wow. I just failed like 18 different levels of failure. I'm sorry, world.
That's okay.
Yeah, the thing is like I can't even change the subject. There's no way for me to segue away from this.
Segue.
I as a segue master, I have no segue on this particular one. Well, we opened up with Somebody to Love. Let's talk about Glee, shall we? I guess we had a couple main plot lines going on this time. We had Sue losing, I guess, her continuing descent into losing her reason to live,
yes.
Apparently. She did. We opened up the episode with Sue aside. And you know, that this, like, Sue committing suicide plotline, that was a little touchy for me. It seemed, I mean, the show, you know, I like that the show is brave and that it, you know, it doesn't mind pushing the envelope and stepping on a few toes. But Sue committing suicide, or at least the joke that Sue was committing suicide by trying to eat chewable vitamins, it was a little uncomfortable for me. I don't know. This one was almost out of bounds for me. Jennifer, how did you feel about that?
It didn't strike me the same way. I mean, it seemed a bit silly and unnecessary, and certainly one of those things that that Sue has done or gone through over this past season that will be completely dismissed and forgotten and never mentioned again. That's all. Like, to me, it was just a throwaway segue into, you know, her claim to have no meaning in her life anymore.
Ed,
I'm usually more sensitive, but
I agree with Jennifer completely. This is like a thing that happened. It wasn't really, it really shouldn't be that bigger deal than what it is. And if Bring It On again and Bring It On have taught me anything, I believe that if you win nationals, you're automatically qualified for the nationals competition the following year. So
you think this whole plot line is just BS?
It's just BS. Like, if Bring It On and Bring It On Again have taught me anything with Hayden Panettiere and the Dolphins, it's like, whatever.
Well,
cheerleading Dolphins?
Of course, they must have taught you something.
yeah. They're very smart mammals.
Dolphins are smart mammals. Yes.
Oh, I wasn't joking.
Wow. Yeah. Fun? I don't have any statement on that one.
See, now my life is making sure Josh can't segue.
I know. Ever. This is like your goal now. You're going to take us into a direction that I can't recover from. I'm sorry, Jennifer.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that. It's kind of a refreshing change because usually I'm the one left speechless from Josh. But now he's stumped.
So we, sorry, it's been a crazy day. So I'm not operating on all two cylinders.
Should have listened to more Bieber, get in the mood.
Is that what it is? I should have gotten in the mood with more Bieber. I couldn't comb my hair like that. I don't have enough hair. Ed, you kind of comb your hair like that. Was that Bieber inspired?
No, it's just what I like, and I liked it before Bieber did it. So it's like whatever. I mean, I've done many different things with my hair, and it's just whatever.
It's just, so like, what's the allure on Bieber? Like, Jennifer, what is the allure on Bieber? Or are you just, you know? Because I mean, there are women that are well past all of our ages that are obsessed with the Bieber. They also really never.
And Colombian drug lords.
Oh, that was hysterical.
That's awesome.
You've seen that picture?
Oh yeah,
right? That's hysterical. I don't know.
No.
I mean, he's cute. He seems kind of harmless, and he sings really catchy songs and, I guess, dance as well. I've never watched one of his videos.
He's okay. You know what's frustrating to me is everyone's like, he's such a great dancer, but like all of his background dancers are doing all the work and he's just kind of like shuffling around. I'm like, okay. I mean, he's not terrible.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, like Justin Bieber he's as much of a performer as like the Queen of England is a political leader. He's just kind of there out in front because he's got the best face. So I kind of understand that aspect of it. I mean, I don't find his music all that unique to me.
No.
His voice is, it's strong given his age.
It'll change though, won't it? Because he's probably 16 now.
That's why he's cranking out albums every 6 months. He's
like, I gotta capitalize.
Document this while
I can. They're re-releasing his movie just the way that they sold you his album twice, where he's like My World 1 and My World 2.0 or whatever that album was called.
My World 2.0 had different songs.
Well, so he's doing the exact same thing with the movie, where he's got this Never Say Never, and then in a couple months they're gonna release Never Say Never 2.0, which has like more performances and slightly different performances, just a new cut.
The thing is, there's gonna be people who will go for it, and it's just like with anything, like the people who bought the standard edition Avatar when they know they were gonna release the special edition Avatar in like 3 months. And then
okay,
they
if you bought
both,
Avatar in the first place, we have to have a conversation.
Or, more importantly, the people who bought Glee Season 1, Volume 1, and then later, you know you're going to buy Glee Season 1 altogether. I'm looking at you, Ed. So, it's just money. It's just money. He makes money. They're getting money.
Yeah.
Yay.
And the thing is, it doesn't affect us, because we're not going to go see it. So, it doesn't matter.
But it affects the world. But every dollar.
Look at our shelf of Star Wars stuff. Come on. I fell for it. We all fall for it. We all do it. But
okay, all I'm going to say is every dollar spent on Bieber is a dollar that could be spent on something like with true artistic value.
There's some artistic value to Bieber. I mean, his songwriters are working hard.
That's like, true.
Like, you can't, you like...
He doesn't write his own songs?
I'm sure he writes, not completely. I would be shocked.
No, of course not.
Who else would have written Baby, Baby, Baby? Come on!
He is on the co-write list for all of these songs that I'm looking up right now. So, it's not
but
like
but that
he's
doesn't
like, oh.
mean anything. I mean, this... Anyway. Let's see. Ontario, help us.
Ontario?
Hi, Justin and Ed. It's Emma from Canada. I just want to say I love your podcast. I listen every week because you have very interesting views. And I was just wondering what your opinion is on the Britney Santana relationship and whether you think that they should pursue it romantically or not. Hope you guys have a good week. Bye.
So we got a couple emails about this, and thank you very much to our listener from Canada.
Yes.
We got a couple emails about this. People saying, you know, they set up Britney and Santana as this, like, you know, power couple. Mm-hmm. Even if it wasn't a romantic power couple. They started to set them up as a power couple. And then in the last couple episodes, we've seen them barely in the same room. And it's mainly been Britney and Artie and Santana as, you know, Dr. Evil.
Dr. Distortion, yeah.
So, and that brings us to this episode where Santana continued to inject herself into the situation and then eventually broke up Sam and Quinn, you know.
It was her fault.
Okay.
There's no question about that. But it was like, I felt like Santana in this episode was like, oh, the mono didn't work. Okay, listen to me.
Yes. She was a little bit more explicit with him.
Well, and so on the whole, like, you know, and this is the entire topic, because we will definitely discuss Santana's actions, but how do we feel about Britney and Santana right now? Personally, I like them better when they're a team. I find them a little less interesting when they're individuals, but, you know, what do you think, Jennifer?
They seem to have, they definitely get more screen time when it's the two of them. But, you know, when it's Artie and Britney, they're kind of like, okay, every now and then you'll see them together or say something cute. But they don't really have a plot line. When Britney and Santana are together, like, they're scheming or they're making out or they're doing
something.
Yeah, but it just seems like for the two of them, it's just something to do when they're not in a relationship. So...
Interesting. Yeah, they're just killing time.
Right now they've
got stuff, so they don't need to kill time with each other. Interesting. Ed, how do you feel about Britney and Santana?
Well, if you think about their growth from Say a Little Prayer for You to now, and Say a Little Prayer for You, they could have been the same person. I mean, obviously they weren't. I mean, but like, they were the same archetype. And now, they're very different characters, and I'm glad they're apart. In some ways, it isn't as playful, and I feel like the Britanna relationship thing is always going to be kind of like a joke relationship, because it's like, because they're shoving Kurt Blaine down our throat so much that they're like the comical relief to that. This is a gay relationship that isn't serious.
Yeah.
I think it's perfect. I haven't been loving Britney as much. I've just been loving Santana more, and that's pretty much it. And you know what shocks me in other news is Court Overstreet is still not a regular. Continue.
That's just television speak, mm-hmm. because Heather Locklear for the duration of Melrose Place was not a regular. For the kids in the house, Melrose Place was a show that used to be on Fox.
Oh, you mean that new show on WB with Ashley Simpson?
So let's go ahead and take a listen to a song, and then we'll talk a little bit more about Korn, or specifically Sam and Quinn. And here is...
Oh, I fed into you.
That's my boy. Here's some baby.
You know you love me, I know you care. Just shout whenever, and I'll be there. You want my love, you want my heart, and we will never, ever, ever be apart. Are we an item? Girl, quit playing. We're just friends, what are you saying? Say there's another and look right in my eyes. My first love broke my heart for the first time, and I was like, baby, 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 oh, like baby, 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 no, like baby, 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 oh, I thought you'd always be mine, mine, baby, 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 oh, like baby, 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 no, like baby, 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 oh, I thought you'd always be mine, mine, for you.
So Jennifer just took her headphones off there in the middle of Baby. Why did you do that, Jennifer?
Oh, the song is just so infectious. I can't. It takes so much work to get it out of my head.
How does that work? Like, are you like clawing it out? this is pop perfect. Like,
oh,
when
it
people,
is.
You know, if anybody were ever ask you like what's pop perfect, you know, like there are just songs through history that no matter what your proclivities as far as music goes, no matter what you like or what you hate, even if you hate I Think I Love You, that song will get in your head for an eternity. And
you see, you know what's crazy to me is there are people out there that hate songs that get in your head, and I'm like the exact opposite. If it can get into my head, that means I don't have to actively seek it to listen to it. So it's like, that makes you even like it even more. So that's when I started liking Justin Bieber. When I heard Baby and Somebody to Love, I was like, uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, so
I
you
know
can
you like it.
That's what makes it pop perfect though, is you can hate this song, but when it comes on, your head is still gonna nod a little bit and mm-hmm. you're gonna hesitate to turn it off at least for a measure or two. You know, you don't have to like, you know, you can hate Justin Bieber with all your heart and soul, but when this song comes on the radio, it's still going to take a split second for you to be like, oh yeah, I need to turn that off. I mean, I used to detest Ice Ice Baby. Like, Ice Ice Baby, when I was a kid, was like that was the bane of my existence. But that song would still get in my head, and it still took me a second to change the radio when that thing came on.
And then when you went to see him live?
That is a long story we don't have to get into.
Okay.
I did go see Vanilla Ice
there
live
a lot of songs.
In like 2007.
So. It was 2004. We just started dating.
Okay, 2004. you know, in this episode we had Sam and Quinn broke up, and you know, Sam kind of came to the decision or realization, I guess, that he did.
With a little help that
Quinn was not being faithful to him. It was kind of an interesting thing. I mean, has Sam always been dumb, or is this a new plot line for people?
No, Sam has not always been dumb. I mean, I don't even feel like he was that dumb. He just wanted to believe.
Yeah. Mm. He's no Finn.
Sam is no Finn.
And that's an interesting point, because, you know, early on, we kind of questioned Sam's love for Quinn, or affection for Quinn. You know, at first it seemed like he was really just dating Quinn for the social climbing. Mm-hmm. But in the last couple episodes, it seems like he does really, you know, genuinely care about her and genuinely want to have a relationship with her. Or he might have just let this one slide and be like, look, as long as you don't do it again and you continue to hold my hands in the halls, I'm going to let this one slide.
Yeah, but then going back to his desire to want
which honestly
to be,
would have been a more interesting plot line now that the writer in me comments, but anyway, go ahead.
Well, no, I mean, his desire to want to be, you know, high up in the social echelons in high school, you know, Santana made a really good point. She's, you know, she just called him on it and said, if you step up, you know, if you stand up to her and dump her for this reason, then you totally have the upper hand, and everybody's going to respect that.
It's true. I mean, she kind of said, like, if you really want to climb the ladder, like, you need a mistress. Mm. I mean, at the end of the day, the only way to be cooler than hooking up with Quinn is hooking up with Santana on the side. Mm. It would raise, you know, it raises his social cachet dramatically. It's an interesting Faustian offer that she made, you know, kind of being like, hey, if you want to dance with the devil, she's pretty upfront in saying, like, look, you know, you will be destroyed by me, but
yeah,
the rewards will be, at least in the moment, you know, at least in high school terms, pretty awesome.
Well, I mean, more than that, she could also destroy Quinn in one fell swoop.
Well, and I don't know that Sam has put that together yet. Mm-hmm. I don't know that Sam really recognizes how much Santana just wants to destroy Quinn, which is an interesting subplot, you know. Ed, you know, how do you feel about Santana and Quinn? Like, there's times when I think that Santana wants to destroy Quinn, and there's times where I think that Santana just, you know, is the Joker in The Dark Knight and just wants to see the world burn.
Well,
obscure references. Go ahead.
Okay, so there was the need for an evil character, because for a long time, Sue and Quinn were maintaining the evil characters on all front. And then Quinn got pregnant, and then Sue got soft. And then there was this void in evil characters, so we had to elicit Santana, because she was like the only... And Puck is soft now, too. Freaking could eat him like a jelly donut or something. and
only so, in your dreams, Ed. Yeah, only in your dreams.
You've got a great visual for me, thank you.
I don't know. It's just something soft that I thought. And then, so Santana just is filling that void as someone who's hard, because she's always been hard, but she's also very, her motivation is very logical, because she's very, like, needy and clingy for attention. So it's like a logical thing for her, and she wants to be on top, and she knows that Quinn's on top, and if Quinn's not on top, then it's gonna be Rachel, and if it's not Rachel, then sometimes it's gonna be Mercedes, but rarely is it gonna be her. So I don't know, it's what it is. I don't know. I like Santana being evil. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
She's perfect in that role.
Yeah, she really is. She really, I mean,
I don't know
Santana,
if I answered the question.
It works. Santana being evil is, I mean, I think the best point you make there, Ed, is that we do need somebody to be crazy. Like, this show thrives. This show is the most fun when somebody is just out to, you know, mess things
up. Yeah, no
up.
Terry. No Carrie.
Yeah.
No Kendra. What is going on?
Well, and that's, you know, that's something that's been sincerely lacking this episode, or this season, is just that when the Sues and the Terrys from season one would say the things that would make you go, oh my God, I can't believe they just said that. Well, yeah. We've had everybody's been extremely nice. Like, they all kind of grew up at some point, and, you know, we haven't been getting some of that real evilness.
I mean, Sue was body checking students into their lockers to, you know.
Yeah, but that's just
comical. That's nice of her. Like, she's not poisoning them.
That's how she shows affection.
Yeah.
She's hurting them.
Nice.
Let's go ahead and take a listen. This is from Kentucky.
Hi, guys. My name is Josh. Listen, I want to talk about the new episode for this week, the Beaver Fever one. I don't know. I forget which one it's called now. but what is up with Puck and Sices? Seriously, I'm kind of being floored by this. They were doing it last week, and I could tell she was starting to like it, but why is she... Seriously, I don't know what's going on with Puck and Sices. What happened to the Puck we, like, know and love? Now he's totally changed. Thanks, guys.
Well, you know, and that leads us to our next topic of conversation. See, I've even got the listeners doing the segs for us.
I know,
now.
Right? Because you can't listen. Fantastic. To me anymore.
And that is the question, you know. For me, Puck has jumped the shark.
No, this is not new. This is not new for Puck. Puck has been soft since he helped date or helped watch the Sandra's kids with Quinn. That was the turning point.
Wow, you're rolling it back, old school.
Okay.
Okay, go on.
That's when he got soft. And since then, he's tried to be a bad donkey. And bad donkey.
Wow.
Which Amazing Race. And he's not the same person anymore. Like, during the Madonna episode, he complained about seeing girl songs. But even at that point... it seems so fake. He's soft, and I think his relationship with Lauren is kind of real because she's the bad donkey that he he wants to be, because she personifies everything he wants. He hasn't changed. She's always been this soft. Even when he went to jail for those couple episodes, which I don't know whatever he was doing, and he was like, oh yeah, I was such a bad donkey. Yeah. Look at me being awesome. And when it came down to him, when he talked to Artie, he was like, oh, I don't want to go back there. I'm scared. Straight scared. So this is just how it is. Like, he's always been this way. He hasn't changed. The mohawk is just an accessory piece that doesn't mean anything.
Could not disagree more, I think.
Good.
Honestly, I think that that's always been Puck's thing, though. Like, Puck has always been a badass, but he's been, because, you know, we're adults. Puck has always been a badass. I just think that he's been a badass in Lima, Ohio. When we saw Puck cave, when we saw Puck, like, act soft, you know, when you're referencing, like, when he went to juvie, is when he kind of got out of McKinley High and out of the boundaries of McKinley High, where his biggest threat is, like, Kurofsky. He, you know, that's where we really got to see his vulnerability. But up to this point, I mean, yeah, we got to see him, like, he kind of wanted Quinn, and he seemed kind of confused, but even when he got close to getting Quinn, he was still, you know, being kind of, you know, being a chauvinist and not taking anyone into account, you know. I think that, and that's what I liked about Puck. And even when Puck first started to fall for Lauren in the beginning, I thought, this is kind of neat. This is a different side of him. We're going to see him be a little softer, but he's kind of become this, like, slobbering idiot after a while. And I don't, I mean, I don't even understand what Lauren's up to these days. Like, Lauren's kind of annoying me too, because at first it was like, hey, I'm going to make you work for it a little bit. But then she's going back and forth and I don't know.
Lauren's issue is that she doesn't know how to do love. That's her. So she's just playing games.
Yeah, I can see her just postponing this because, you know, she had feelings for him. She even, you know, when they saw Santa, she asked Santa for Puckerman. Which is kind of crazy because that kind of messes up the timeline when she would have kissed him after freeing him from the dumpster. But, yeah, I mean, I totally get her. She's putting it off because, you know, she just, yeah, he's always been the badass. He just, you know, he'll you know, do what he can to get a girl and then just dump her. I mean, he did that with his best friend's girlfriends, and now he's on to her, and she's just a challenge to him. And, I mean, I can totally see her just basically just putting him off as long as she can because she doesn't want to get hurt. And as far as, like, what he's thinking, to me, this is just another conquest, and this is one that he's had to fight a little harder for, and it's become kind of exciting. And yeah, he admires her strength and her independence, but I don't think, you know, I think, like, once they get together, that's it. I think he's just on to, I'll think he'll be on with somebody else.
I mean, as much as I agree with you, just from like a viewer's perspective, I would like to get a more of a sense of that watching Lauren. Because in the last couple episodes, to me, she's just kind of been annoying. Like she's been kind of like playing with him, you know, she makes the date on Valentine's Day and then she doesn't show up.
But she's always been kind of like that. Like anytime like they needed her in the Glee Club for something, she'd be like, okay, it's going to cost you. Like she's always had an angle.
Because show choir's stupid.
No, like, okay, then when she was bugging the room for Sue or whoever, who did she bug the room for?
Ed? I think it wasn't it Rachel? I thought it was Rachel.
So, I mean, she always has an angle, and you know, maybe that's part of her defense mechanism. You know, showing the world that she's so strong and tough, she really doesn't need anybody, and she can be this way, and it doesn't matter. So, I mean, to me, it doesn't seem like it required that much thought.
I guess you're right. I mean, obviously, I do think about things too deeply. Let's go ahead and take a listen to
sweetness.
Let's go ahead and take a listen to Lauren Zisis. I don't remember the character's name yet. I'll have to look that up. Here is a bit of "I Know What Boys Like" by
The Waitresses.
Thank you.
I know what boys like. You're gonna say that.
I know what guys want. I see them looking. I make them want me. I like to tease them. They want to touch me. I never let them. I know what boys like. I know what guys want.
So, yes, The Waitresses. Jennifer, nicely done.
Thank you. One.
Let's go ahead and take a listen to this.
Hi, my name is Brandon, and I love your show. I was wondering what you guys think of the Love Heptagon, and if you think it's funny or stupid or what. Also, I was wondering what you guys thought of having guest hosts of fans of your show from time to time, because that would be awesome. Anyways, I love your show. Thanks.
Thank you very much. You know, when we don't have episodes to discuss, I definitely think having some people on, some of the fans on to talk would be awesome. Because I get tired of my own voice after a while. I know that comes as a shock.
Oddly, because I never do of mine. So,
oh, okay. Oh, of yours. Well, we got a ton of messages this time, and we won't be able to get to all of them, but I wanted to thank everyone for leaving us a voicemail. Jennifer?
Well, I just want to get back to Lauren's performance.
Who's played by Ashley Fink, by the way.
Okay, seriously? I rewound that scene about 7 times because I wanted to see what everybody's underwear was. Did you guys catch any of that? Like, because, you know, that was Puck's advice to her. You know, when you're nervous, just picture him in the underwear. It's not a sexual thing. It's just to kind of, you know, bring him down a notch.
Not sexual at all.
Will Schuster, white t-shirt, vest, and boxers. Awesome. Sue Sylvester, full-on pleather, dominatrix, mask. I can't believe you didn't catch any of this.
I did.
Sue Sylvester wasn't shown.
No, she was.
Honestly, if you weren't watching it in widescreen, you might have missed it.
Oh, because he was in the far, far corner. She was next to him.
Yeah.
Everybody else was pretty predictable.
Finn was wearing a Power Rangers
t-shirt. Wasn't Sam wearing, leopard print?
Santana was wearing leopard print. Rachel was wearing plaid. Quinn was in kind of like a white,
but
lacy
your favorite
thing.
Was?
My favorite... And this took some real accurate pausing. Puck was wearing Star Wars Darth Vader little trunks. So cute. And Josh actually happens to have the same print in pants.
Let's clarify that, in pants.
Pajama pants.
No one wants to picture Josh.
I do. Josh is a cute tuchus.
Take us away, Ohio.
Hi, Josh, Jen, and Ed. This is Amy from Ohio, and I'm just calling to let you guys know how much I appreciate your show. I really enjoy it. I look forward to it every week. It's so entertaining and a lot of fun. And I just wanted to tell you, about a month ago, I dropped my iPod into my dishwater, where I did my dishes, and it was ruined. And I realized the past month I wasn't able to listen to you, and I realized how much you guys have become like my family in the kitchen. I listen to you guys Friday nights while I'm cooking dinner every week. And I really miss it. My dinners were awful. So I got a new iPod this weekend. I listened to the last four episodes. I cooked some salmon with like a glazed brown sugar sauce. It was delicious.
That sounds good.
So thank you so much. I'm so glad you guys are back in my kitchen. I'm sure my family appreciates it. And keep up the good work. Bye.
So if ever we think we should stop doing this show, we're going to be like, but her dinners will be ruined. Her family will go hungry.
That's so sweet.
Thank you so much. I had to play that one because I listen to podcasts while I do the dishes.
He does. And I can't interrupt him. It's so
funny. I listen to podcasts while I do laundry.
So a couple things that people picked out that we have been forgetting to mention or forgot to mention last week. Could you turn the light on? Oh, thank you. It just got dark in our living room. One of the things we've forgotten to mention in the last couple weeks is we've been seeing for the first time Santana and Brittany in street clothes.
Yes.
This is a big change.
People emailed us asking us to talk about that.
We've been seeing Quinn in street clothes and not pregnant, which is kind of
a new
change. Mm-hmm. And we don't really get too many opportunities to talk about this on the show, but I'm just going to go out and say, like, Quinn in her Donna Reed outfits totally works for Josh.
Oh, yeah.
She is gorgeous, and she's been doing the hair, and
I know, she's taking over the Emma, like, the wind stripes.
Totally. Totally. Santana has been wearing some bizarre things recently. Like,
Santana?
I just kind of wonder how she affords those things, but I don't even know
how father's a doctor. I mean, her father's a doctor.
Even though she's from the wrong side of town.
Yeah.
Lima Heights adjacent.
Yeah. Oh, no, I think it's hysterical. I would not try to put any reason or sense
wardrobe
into
choices.
Exactly.
Well, considering that
wardrobe expenses.
Considering that the characters on Friends were broke most of the time and yet wore a different thing every week.
Well, I mean, but look at what Kurt wears.
That's true.
He wears all designer stuff.
Top to bottom. Yes, it's a very
But Mike owns a shop, so I mean, it's like money.
Well, and if we roll back to like episode 3 when Kurt showed up in that Escalade, or whatever, I don't remember what type of car that was, and his dad was like, yeah, my dad, or he said, my dad bought this for me, and then here we come to like season 2 and his dad's saying, hey, I don't have a lot of money for this wedding. Well, you know.
Yeah.
So, Jennifer, I guess Jennifer and Ed, how would we describe Brittany's fashion sense?
Childlike, playful, whimsical.
Strange brew.
I think she just gets up in the morning and says, I feel like this. And that's it. And she goes with it. I appreciate that.
She's almost always in a crazy hat. I'm not really sure what that is, you know, what that says about Brittany, but she's always wearing a crazy hat.
That's true. Yeah.
And knee socks. Every outfit includes knee socks.
Well, she had that going anyhow with the Cheerios. I mean, they always had something going on. So
very true. Well, one of the subplots we had in this episode was Rachel trying to make her comeback by starting a fad around campus. What are you shaking your head?
I'm sorry. I'm still wrapping my head around that whole idea
of trying to start a fad around campus.
Yeah. Well, about her doing a comeback, like she said that.
What is she coming back from?
Thank you. Yeah.
Well, she was coming back from. I mean, she wasn't really coming back as much as she was kind of making an entrance by saying, "I don't need a man in my life." Like she was coming back as a performer.
Well,
as a single person.
Yeah, but she was saying, "I'm done with men. I'm solid in my career, or my music."
Yes.
So now she wants to do something else. But the thing is, she never had any of that before. So I didn't understand. So I loved at the end, I mean, I love that it just kind of led up to the end where Finn said, you're best when you're doing this.
Yeah.
You know, welcome back. And
that's true. I mean, we also had that, the other thing, well, let's talk a little bit about this fashion decision first, where Brittany yes. keeps upstaging her. Seeing everyone in Rachel clothes was
pretty
hilarious.
I know, it was awesome.
Hilarious.
What that was awesome. So
who wears reindeer?
Yeah, you're wearing a reindeer right now. No,
this is a carousel horse.
That was awesome. I was like, so oh, I'm in love.
That was hilarious. We also got another diva off. We had Take Me or Leave Me, and we can go ahead and take a little listen to this. This is Leah Michele and Amber Riley performing Take Me or Leave Me from Rent. I wonder, is there as much musical theater geekdom surrounding Glee as a whole, or is it just our listener base?
I think it's expanded.
You think it's expanded?
Yes.
I'm gonna take it. Here's a bit of Take Me or Leave Me from Leah and Amber.
People say, baby, so sweet ever since puberty. Everybody stares at me, boys, girls, I can't help it, baby. So be kind and don't lose your mind. Just remember.
So a couple, you know, random pieces of trivia. Obviously, the original cast that performed this song, this was one of Idina Menzel's big numbers in the show, and she played Maureen. So that's an interesting Glee connection that we now have Leah Michele performing it. Obviously, the biggest thing that jumped out of me, and I think it jumped out at Jennifer and Ed, I don't know how familiar you are with Rent, but in the show, this is a love song between lesbians. Mm-hmm. And it was a little interesting. I don't know. I mean, it was just kind of an interesting song choice for this particular pairing.
I think I was a little surprised when the music cue came in, but watching them and listening to them, it doesn't seem odd at all to me.
Well,
because it's almost like two different people singing it, not necessarily to each other, but singing it to everybody else.
Okay.
I looked at it as more of a duet in that way, rather than a romantic.
I'll definitely give you that. But I do think the show went to great lengths to make that point. I mean, the lines like, how can I be what I'm not? Well, don't you want your girl hot? Which in the show are performed face to face. They are specifically looking at other people.
Yes.
You know, but every night, who's in your bed? They are specifically not facing each other when they say those lines.
Yeah.
It was a little wacky in that. In that way. It's just an interesting take.
Yeah.
You know, I'm curious, like, to the musical geek listeners, like, did they have a similar reaction? Because it was a little, you know, it was different.
Yeah.
It reminded me, one of the listeners pointed out, it was a little like when Idina and Leah Michele did Poker Face.
Right.
Where if you really thought too deeply
about the lyrics.
The lyrics and the context, it was a little odd.
But speaking of which, Idina Menzel, I didn't actually watch the video, but there is video of her. She was performing on stage with the symphony orchestra. She actually did Poker Face.
Yes.
And it's supposed to be incredible. I haven't listened to it. I've got it bookmarked for later.
Well, we've got to wrap it up here in just a little bit. I know Ed needs to run, and you know, we've definitely been wordy. Good Lord, look at the time.
it's not that bad. I mean,
we've been worse.
I'm waiting to eat breakfast. I realize it's 9 p.m., but I haven't eaten
okay.
yet.
I was thinking, wow. I know there's a time difference, but I didn't think it went in that direction.
Josh texted me today. He's like, can you record it too? And it was already 4 o'clock. And I was like, What? like, where do you have me? In Hawaii? Like, where am I?
I was a little, yes, true. I was a little off. But I did ask the listeners for their favorite anthems, and definitely want to talk about that a little bit. We got tons of great suggestions on Facebook and on Twitter. Just to point out a couple, the most often mentioned favorite anthem was the national anthem, the Star Spangled Banner. Yes. I think that's cheating. I almost, when I put on the tweet, "What's your favorite anthem?" I almost put in parentheses, "Don't say the Star Spangled Banner."
Not the national anthem.
We also had a couple people who suggested "O Canada," so that was funny.
Oh, Canada!
Cover the globe from Canada. Alberta to Ontario.
There was an episode of How I Met Your Mother where that was called "Oh Honey," where they had a character who, when she kept saying these things, where people went, "Oh honey,
oh honey,
oh honey," and that's, I'm sorry, but every time I hear "Oh Canada," I think, "Oh Canada, oh Canada." And then we had someone who suggested the anthem of Israel. And said that was a really beautiful song, which I did look it up, and it is a really beautiful song. The second most suggested one, I think, is "Living on a Prayer." Several people suggested "Living on a Prayer." Cubs Girl 23, Theater Knitter, had that one. And then some across the board, you know, a lot of Rent songs that people liked. If you'd like to check these out, you can totally go to our Twitter page.
Yeah, and or a lot on Facebook.
A ton on Facebook. So thank you so much. Ed, did you have a favorite anthem that came to mind?
Okay, this wasn't as easy as "Love Song." So I was like trying to think about things that have like pushed, like have really like made me... Like, songs that I turn to, and I'm, like, motivated because of them. That's to me what anthem means. So,
and that's a good point, because, you know, what does anthem mean to people? So to you, it's a song that gets you going.
I was like, I guess "Somebody Loves" an anthem. Like, Sam Evans' reasoning was just as transparent as mine is going to be. The first two that came to mind was "Since You've Been Gone," a potential breakup song. But I ended up settling on... there's a good reason these tables are numbered, honey. You just haven't figured it out yet, by Panic at the Disco.
Whoa. And
wow. Okay.
And as Josh attempts to seek that song. Yes.
I can dial this stuff in quick.
And as he attempts to bring that out, what I like about the song is the sense of theatricality, and it's very inspiring to me. I don't know. So, cue music.
Let's go ahead and take a listen to "There's a Good Reason These Tables Are Numbered, Honey, You Just Haven't Figured It Out Yet" by Panic at the Disco. This has got to be a first album with a title like that, right?
Yep.
So why do you call that anthemic, Ed? Sorry, as it continues to load.
it's just for me. It's just like it's a song that I sing along with other people too. So that has that vibe to it. And as I said, it's an anthem for me because it's inspiring. Like it's about this person who's being thrust into an upper class party, and they're like completely not in the right dress, or don't know the right people, and they're just there, and they're like, and then they go to the bathroom in the song, and they need, like, they're like, "I can do this,
because I'm a diva,"
and that's I feel like whenever I hear that song, I'm like, I'm in situations where I'm like not necessarily accustomed to, and I like just like take a second and like, "I can do this, I can handle this," and then
interesting.
So, I don't know. I'm sorry for being so constantly not traditional.
Well, no, that's what's so great about it. I mean, that's what I was really fascinated by the concept of anthems in this episode, because as much as the episode, you know, as much as Mr. Schuster comes out and says, we're going to do anthems, and his definition was kind of that it's a song that means more and has a greater effect than, you know, just the lyrics and the melody. But I felt that really, I mean, I guess Sing was really the only song in this episode that I really felt was very anthemic. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of a cop-out in a way that they were like, so this is the anthem episode, and then we're going to do these two Justin Bieber songs that didn't feel very anthemic at all to me. Jennifer, how did you feel about anthems, and do you have a favorite anthem?
I do. Well, one of the things that I kind of go back to when I think of an anthem is the music or a song that gives you a sense of empowerment. And I think in the case of Justin Bieber songs, it wasn't that the songs were so empowering, but just being that person or becoming that character gave them power to win back their girlfriend's attentions. So
it was the effect rather than the song itself.
Exactly.
Interesting.
So I think, I mean, that's what I took away from it for them. As far as I go, it's so funny because Ed, I also thought of Since You've Been Gone.
Because it is kind of like an anthem.
Oh, it's awesome. It I mean, I think of songs that, you know, will come on the radio and you'll just like crank it up and blast it out and sing along and sometimes yell with it. But so that was definitely one of them. But I guess this is kind of dorky, but Defying Gravity.
Yes, we definitely got some suggestion or some people who had suggested Defying Gravity from Wicked.
I have hummed that a few times, many, many times when I've just needed a little extra, you know, boost before giving a presentation or before a meeting or something like that. And like, I can do this.
It's an interesting song, too, because everyone remembers the hook of Defying Gravity, but there's like a whole other part, you know, there's a whole like 2 minutes of lead in before you even get to it. I mean, it would never be a radio single.
I sing that part actually in my head. Sing both parts in
you
my head.
You sing the duet.
And I'm good. I'll never know. Too long I've been afraid of losing love. I guess I'm lost. Well, if that's love, it comes at much too high a cost.
You know, I think what both of your anthems have in common, and a lot of the anthems that I see on the list that people suggested, I think for me, I know it's an anthem when the toe tapping turns into foot stomping. It's like as soon as the song takes, you know, like the song's putting out a certain amount of emotion, and then I take that emotion and I start multiplying it by things. Mm-hmm. That's when I know that like it's become anthemic. It's really started to mean more than you know. It starts to fill you up with that excitement.
Yes.
You know, it's an interesting point. For me, for some reason, the first thing that came to mind when I was trying to think of an anthem was this song by The Lonely Forest. It's called We Sing in Time. Fade, but out for a new breath, a new life. Take me away. Oh, in time, the trees die. Life will fade, but out for a new breath, a new life. Take me away. Let us pretend we've got it together. Ignore the coming sun. We'll sing the body electric until machine and soul are one. I've seen the tweaker struggle, syringes line the floor. A cycle turn to life, like dead in jobs in a government war. In time. Thank you. I think you could probably draw certain comparisons or certain qualities out of, like, the, you know, Ed's suggestion, Defying Gravity. They all have a big backbeat. They all have big crescendos of emotion in the hook. And they all have a very potent message.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, just in the minute we were able to listen to those three songs, you really were immediately able to figure out what they're trying to say and understand how it relates to you. We just had Silly Rabbit 09 suggested I'm Not Okay by My Chemical Romance, which I don't know how anthemic it is, but it's a damn good song. that's pretty much all we've got for this episode. Want to go ahead and we will leave you, of course, as we always do, with a song from the show. This one will be the cover of Sing that they performed at the end. The main thing, the main takeaway from Sing is that Macy's will definitely be singing, be selling flannel tracksuits by the end of the year. So, and this is not a song that I was very familiar with. So, Ed, what do you? Oh, never mind.
This is from MCR's newest album. I don't like it as much as I like The Black Parade, but it was still a good album, so...
Dude, The Black Parade is one of, I think, my top 10 most underrated albums I've ever heard. That album is incredible.
How is it underrated? It was massive. It was massive for the rock community.
Yeah, but I feel like in 10 years we're going to go back and we're going to listen to The Black Parade and be like, this is as good as anything that, like, the White Stripes ever did. The Black Parade's an incredible
record. I was disappointed by Danger Days because how good Black Parade was. Continue.
Well, you know, and at the end of the day, like, you know, Three Cheers for Sweet Revenge had like two or three incredible songs on it, too. I mean, My Chemical Romance seems to be oddly underrated in the grand scheme of rock. When people are, you know, people are lamenting the breaking up of Fall Out Boy, and I'm like, they had two good songs. What's a serious, like... Anyway, Ed, would you like to thank some iTunes reviewers?
Yes, I would like to thank some iTunes reviewers. Effie and Pandora Fan, Calbert Grad 00, Kate Zusanna 40 something Gleek, Westcomo 33, John Olson, Logan Hand, and yes, I'm Ed, I'm reading your thing. Erica Rocks, Aaron Boisvert, Yellow Jake Jacket, Dusty DHN, Naturally Angel, Dr. Woodstock, and Pug Ninja. Thank you so much for the massive amount of reviews in the past week. We literally, like, almost filled up page 31. So
that's awesome. And we want to thank everybody also for the tweets. You can find us at Gleeful Podcast on Twitter. A lot of great tweets, and thanks for weighing in on your favorite anthems. You can also email us at gleefulpodcast@gmail.com, and you can leave us a voicemail. We've gotten so many good voicemails that obviously I can only play one or two. Just some tips: if you would like to hear your voicemail played on the show, just kind of keep it short, because those tend to be the ones that are more conducive. But just want to thank everybody for weighing in, because you're all fantastic. You can leave us a voicemail at 424-258-GLEE. That's 424-258-GLEE. 4533-258-4533. That's also
okay, useful. Ryan Seacrest, move on.
Anyway.
You can go to gleefulpodcast.com and really get the number in case you didn't write it down, which I know no one did.
Really, okay. Ed? You going to jump on me for that? you can also find Jen and I on our other podcast, which is The Idol Review, at www.theidolreview.com, where we talk about American Idol. Ed, are you still Elegantly Edwith, or are you?
I still do that. I still do that, but not lately. Okay. This is kind of my main show.
All right.
I'm working on my blog, which I did post on the Gleeful Podcast feed. So you should just read my blog, edwardgiordano.wordpress.com.
There you go. And Jennifer, you're at Jenny B Creative, where you have been posting some of your amazing cakes.
Is this like an HTML session for us?
Well, I feel like, you know, let's take a moment to just talk about some of the other amazing things that that Jennifer does.
Or that we all do.
Mainly just Jennifer.
I'm working on it. I'm getting my pics all together and start getting those things out there.
You can also join our Facebook fan page as well, where there have been lots of suggestions for awesome anthems. For the Gleeful Podcast with Josh Jen and Ed, I've been Josh.
I'm Jen.
And I'm Ed, and I have my microphone person from the Chicago auditions who just came into my apartment and is with me. So say hello, Hannah.
Hi.
Hello, Hannah.
Hi, Hannah.
Great work in Chicago.
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry.
Thanks.
Thank you for doing that.
Well, very cool. I we'll do it again. For the Gleeful Podcast with Josh and Annette, I'm Josh.
I'm Jen.
Jenny, I don't know over the world except for when the monsoon strike.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Bye.